See you today and glad you're here to worship. Listen to those words that song, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And I think about that and I thought, man, you know, that's the blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, among us, as we live life on a daily basis. What a blessing it is to be part of His family, part of the church. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for today and for the privilege of being here to worship you, to be in this place. We just want to pray those all familiar words, but meaningful words, because God, what we do here in this place would not be possible without the presence of your Holy Spirit. So again, we pray them, come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe some of you are like me. I'm glad to know. I heard Mel say in the opening, and maybe you heard it as well. I'm glad he's like me. That Pat makes him go to the doctor. Did you hear that? Did you catch that? Yeah. Well, I don't like going to the doctor. That's not my favorite thing to do. I went in June for my yearly checkup and the blood work and all that stuff, but here's the thing about that. They make you come and you do the wellness checkup, they suck your blood out, and then they say, now come back in a week and we're gonna read this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to come back in a week. I've been here once. You know, why, you should have done this earlier and figured it out. I'm not one that likes to go to the doctor. I go to a twice a year, checkup with my cardiologist and we do that and that's cool. But other than that, other than being basically forced to go, I'm not a fan of going to the doctor. Diana says that my nickname ought to be Dr. Layman because I like to self-diagnose my aches and pains. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, you know, see, there's this wonderful website out there called WebMD. And you can go on there and you put in any symptom in and bingo, a million things pop up that it could be. May not be any of those things, but you know, it gives you a little piece. It could be one of those things. It's not a big deal, right? So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm frugal. Some of you just heard me say the word frugal and you think, no, he didn't mean frugal. I really heard the word cheap. That could be too. I mean, that may be. But what I do know is this. When I passed 50 a few years back, my doctors are way more excited to see me than I am to see them. I also know that those yearly checkups are important. I know that going to the doctor and just having that yearly wellness check and making sure all the pieces and parts are working right. I know that going to the gym on a regular basis. I know that doing all the recreational stuff that I do. I know all of that stuff is really important when it comes to maintaining my physical health. I know that. I also know that there are times in my life that I need in my spiritual walk to look deeply within and see if what I'm doing is helping me to maintain where I need to be as a child of God, to see if it's indeed helping me to continue to grow up as a child of God. I need what Mel talked about a few minutes ago, and I can't get this thing to work, so there you go, a spiritual checkup. A spiritual checkup. In fact, what I know about a spiritual checkup is that we all need that from time to time. What I realize is more and more as I grow older is that what my professor told me a lot of years ago when I was in college, what he told our class when we were sitting there together was true. Now, I've said this in a couple of different settings. I've talked about it in our Bible studies. I've talked about it on Wednesday Night Fuel. I've talked about it. Maybe I've said it a couple times here in worship. But what I heard all those years ago, I know is absolutely true for me, for us, even today. And this is what he said. He said, guard your devotional life with your life, because it is your life. Guard your devotional life. That's a keeper, by the way. If you want to write that down, that's a good one to write down. Guard your devotional life with your life, because it is your life. So many times, at least for me, the temptation is to, if I'm going to let anything slide in my busy schedule in a day, well, I'll catch up to God later on. I don't know if that's a temptation for you, but it is for me. You know, okay, God will wait. He's cool. You know, it'll be good at the end of the day. It's okay. Guard your devotional life with your life, because it is your life. We live in a dangerous world. You know that, right? And I don't mean danger, well, it could be danger physically, but I mean we live in a dangerous spiritual world. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We fight against the spiritual forces of wickedness in our world. Guard your devotional life with your life, because it is your life. And I can tell you this, that my spiritual inventories that I take, that those times I look deep within myself, they go far better when I can honestly say to God, I'm doing what I need to be doing to stay fresh with you. I'm doing what I need to be doing in order to grow up into your likeness. Now, I could take the time this morning to talk about the spiritual disciplines that we find in the Scripture. But I'm just telling you this, if I would take the time to go through all of the spiritual disciplines that are in Scripture, we'd be here a while. In fact, we might be here a long while. And so we're not going to go through all of them today. We're not going to talk about all of them today. It would include a lot of things we've talked about over the years. But today and next week, I want us to zero in on five spiritual disciplines that I believe are important and that I'm convinced are necessary for us to maintain and to keep growing in this adventure we call following Jesus. I want to focus on these five because I think they're universal. It doesn't matter what church you're part of or where you find yourself on the Christian theological spectrum, they're important. These five are important for all of us. But I also want to talk about these five because they are five that, what I would say, are spiritual disciplines. When we say, yes, I want to be a part of a United Methodist Church, I want to be part of the church family called Covenant Church. Because these are five disciplines that I would say we employ as part of Christ's body here at Covenant Church. In fact, when you say yes, I want to be a member of that church. I want to be a member of this church family. I want to jump right in because it's what, you know, I've been around and doing things and this seems like the place where God wants me to be planted. And when you say, yeah, I want to commit to that body, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to come and stand in front of the church family and I'm going to ask you a series of questions and I'm going to ask you to affirm that you will support the church with your prayers and your presence and your gifts and your service and your witness. Those five spiritual disciplines, important for the church universal, the body of Christ, but important for us too as part of the body of Christ here at Covenant Church. By the way, today after this service, we're doing Starting Point. Now, Starting Point is a class time. It's basically just an hour and a half or so for people who are new to Covenant Church or maybe new to the United Methodist tradition, or maybe just new to this whole Jesus thing, and you got some questions. And it's a great time to come and listen and maybe ask some questions if you'd like to. That's today, right after the service. Now, if you didn't sign up, that's okay. Come on anyway. We want you to be here. You know, if you've got questions or you're thinking about, hey, I'm thinking about committing to this body, then we want you to come. We're going to talk about some of these things and these spiritual disciplines as well. These disciplines, those five things I mentioned, prayer and presence and gifts and service and witness, they're like promises that we make to Jesus as part of the greater kingdom of God. To be people who pray, to be people who gather as a church family, to use our spiritual gifts, to be generous with our time and our talents and our monetary gifts, to serve those the least and the last and the lost, and to faithfully share with others about Jesus' love for every human being. You know, that's one of the key things that I think is so important, this discipline of witness. To help people know that Jesus loves them, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again, that he offers every human being the promise of eternal life. That's such an important discipline that we need to employ and put into practice as people of God, as those who live life for Jesus, as followers of his. Be willing to share that and talk about that and how that is real in your own life. The promises that we make and these disciplines that we put into practice, they're a big deal. So I want you to grab your bulletin. Or if you've got your Bible with you and you would rather open your Bible, that's okay too. But we're going to look at we're going to look at those passages that are there in your bulletin. And we're going to talk about these first two spiritual disciplines, as I want to call them this morning. And the first one is the first discipline that I believe we ought to put into practice in our lives and keep in practice in our lives is the discipline of prayer. It's a big deal. These are disciplines that help keep us on track and help us keep growing. So let me just say this before I jump into that passage of scripture. Here's what, I don't know, we live in such a, do you realize we live in a negative world? Anybody, you know that, right? I mean, I don't know, we're surrounded by negative people. And the problem is that sometimes that negativity filters its way into the church. And sometimes things happen in the church, things go on in the church, and the first thing we want to do is complain. Or call somebody and talk about something with somebody else. And that's not what Paul says to do. Paul says, whoa, time out, y'all. If you're part of the church, this is what needs to happen. And he talks about that in this passage. So I want to just read a couple of words out of that first passage that's there. I'm just going to read the ones that are in bold print and precede them by that verse, first part of verse 12. Dear brothers and sisters. See where it says that? You see, we are part of each other. Within the church, we're the body of Christ. We're the people of God. We ought to love each other and care for one another and have each other's backs all the time. And so he says, dear brothers and sisters, listen, church, don't take that lightly. We're the family of God. And when we put these disciplines in practice, wow, what could happen as we are together working for the common good? Dear brothers and sisters, now look at these next six words. Always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. That first spiritual discipline of praying is a big deal. It's a big deal. But let me just, two important things. Verse 16. Be joyful. Rejoice. Be filled up with joy. Now listen, that doesn't mean that we always have to go around 24/7 with a smile on our face and excited. Say, hey, man, everything is cool in my life. It's all good. I don't have any problems. I don't have anything ever bad happening. That's not what this is talking about. It's not saying always be happy. It's always be joyful. Joyful means to rejoice. It means to be filled up with joy. Joy that comes from knowing that Jesus lives inside of us. That we have a Savior who loves us, who gave His life on a cross for us, who was dead, buried, and rose again, and had promised us eternity with Him. Be joyful, church. And then he says, never stop praying. Wow. You know, those words, it actually means continuously pray. Now, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I got a lot of stuff I got going on in my life. And all of us can think about that. And we got, yeah, you know, I've got to go to work. I've got things I've got to concentrate on. I got things I've got to be involved in. I got things going on in my life. And how am I supposed to continuously be praying? How am I supposed to employ this discipline of prayer in my life? And what he really means is to keep praying continuously. Be ready in a moment's time over and over again to have an attitude of prayer in place in our hearts, where prayer is a natural flow from everything that we do. Prayers of thanksgiving. You know, here's the thing. You know, a lot of times when we pray, and I don't know, maybe this isn't true for you, but I'm telling you, a lot of times when I pray, or when we pray, when I'm in a group of people praying, you know, we pray and we've got requests, and so we say, hey, God, you know, I'm here to pray for this one thing, or these several things. And you know what I think we forget about oftentimes? Something that's so important is prayers of thanksgiving. How important it is to be thankful. Thankful that we can get up in the morning and put our feet on the floor. Thankful that we can get up in the morning and we can breathe in air. Thankful that we can get up in the morning and see the blue sky and green grass and leaves that are different colors and rain and snow and all the other stuff. How thankful that we should be that we have the privilege to come and gather in a place like this and be the church. Prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of confession. Prayer saying, God, you know, I've messed up. I don't know that there's any of us in this room that don't go through a day without messing up in some way. Prayers of confession are huge. Now, it could be prayer of commission, something we do, or omission, something we don't do. Or it could be a thought or an attitude. Be a lot of different things. Prayers of confession are a huge deal. Prayers of intercession, praying for others. You know that prayer sheet that's in your bulletin, that prayer guide, take that home and pray for people. Prayers of intercession, prayers of supplication, prayers that are graceful and hopeful. For I don't know, prayers for the church, prayers for the leaders of the church body. Prayers for those who live life far from God on purpose. Prayers for those who have needs that are deeper than we can even imagine. Prayers for the marginalized of our world. Prayers for those who have health needs. Prayers for those who are blessed beyond what they can imagine. Always be prayerful. Always be prayerful. In almost every New Testament book or letter, we can find encouraging words that tell us to pray for one another. Pray for each other. Jesus taught about that. Jesus was telling his disciples, and if you want something to read later on today that will help you understand what this is all talking about, read John 17. Jesus prays for his disciples, and then he prays for the church at large. It's a great model for you and for me to use when we pray for others. James chapter 5 tells us the value of our prayers. That the prayer of a righteous person, and this is the Mike translation, is hugely beneficial. It's greatly beneficial. Avails a great deal. How many of you have heard? How many of you have heard that? Prayer changes things. Anybody? Come on, it's okay. Prayer changes. How many of you heard that? Prayer changes things. Man, we hear that all the time. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes. Yeah, you know what? That may be right. That may be right. But here's what I know for sure. Prayer changes us. And that changes everything. I love that. Prayer changes us. And that changes everything. You know, one of the easiest things to do, maybe you've done this. I'll be really transparent for a moment. One of the easiest things for me to do is when people say, come up to me and say, hey, would you pray for me this week? I've got this going on. And you know what I do? Sure, I'll pray for you. And they walk away, and guess what happens? Anybody want to guess? I forget. You know, I got to tell you, Mel has been so incredibly helpful to me in this regard. Because, you know, when I first came here, I would see Mel just standing with somebody praying with him. Like, that's interesting. And then we got to talking about all that, and he said, you know, when people ask me to pray for them, what I kind of do sometimes is I just forget. So I just found it better. If they ask me to pray, I pray for them in that moment. I just pause to pray. It doesn't take very long. And it's a moment that I can take right then to be ready to pray. And I thought, man, that's really cool. And so I've been really working hard at that. Sometimes I'm better than others. We as a staff have been working hard at doing that, and sometimes we're better than others. But man, what a blessing that is when someone says, would you pray for me about this? To in that moment, just take a second. Just take a minute or two. And here's the thing. It doesn't just have to be us as a staff. What if we would do that as a church? What if someone would say to us, hey, would you pray for me this week? And instead of waiting, say, yeah, y'all do that. And instead of waiting, that we would actually right then in that moment pray for that person. You see, here's the thing. We are all the priesthood of believers. We all have that role as prayers, people who can pray for one another. What a blessing that could be. Maybe in your life, you and I, maybe we need a prayer trigger. You know what a prayer trigger is? A prayer trigger is something that you, I don't know, physically see or do, or something that when you do that thing, you immediately triggers your mind to say, oh, I need to pray for something or for someone. I'm going to double dog dare you today. You know what would be a great prayer trigger? Everybody ready for this? Your phone. Every time you touch your phone this week, I double dog dare you. Allow your phone to be your prayer trigger. To pray for someone or something. Every time you touch it. And let's see what God might want to do because we commit ourselves to that discipline. Prayer's a big deal. Prayer, that discipline of prayer, is a big deal and helps us to keep on growing. There's another discipline that we talk about and that the scriptures talk about that I really believe is also a big deal, and that is to be present with one another. Be present with one another. Commit to being a part of the fellowship of God's people. That second passage is there in your bulletin this morning from Hebrews chapter 10. Grab your bulletins if you set them aside and let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm not going to read all this either, but I'm going to start at verse 23. Just listen to these words. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted. Listen to that. Listen to this. Man. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Man, church, if you want to hang on to something, that's a lockdown right there. God can be trusted to keep His promises. Verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Now there's a lot of sermons right there in those three verses. But can I tell you the obvious? Let me state the obvious. We cannot, church, listen. We cannot possibly hope to carry out verse 23 or verse 24 unless we commit to verse 25. We cannot spur one another on. We cannot hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm or think of ways to motivate one another to love and good works if we refuse to get to gather together as God's people. We need to find ways to share life together. This is one, but this can't be the only thing that we do. We need to gather together as the people of God to share life with each other. Maybe it's in a Sunday school class. Maybe it's in some small group setting. Maybe it's someplace outside of these walls that you gather with people of like mind and like faith and spend time with each other. But listen, church, we need each other. Now, I don't know, maybe you've noticed this, but do you remember? I don't remember this. I'm just going to say this up front. I have no recollection in my mind of what they used to call the blue laws. Anybody know what that is? Blue laws, apparently, like I said, this is not before my time. I don't know. But blue laws apparently were when it was a law that you couldn't shop. Stores were not open on Sundays. You couldn't open your store. If you owned a business, you couldn't open on Sunday. If you owned a restaurant, you couldn't open on Sunday. I don't remember that in my lifetime, but maybe it was. I don't know. I have no idea. But I do remember back in my years of starting ministry, our culture was way different than it is today. Back when I started in ministry, Sundays were a respected day. Sundays were a day that, man, it was church day. Sundays and Wednesdays, man, the community, the schools, they didn't touch those 2 days. And if they did, then the local ministerial association would go to them and say, hey, well, time out, y'all. You know, we got stuff going on Wednesday nights. We got stuff going on Sunday mornings. And they would, and the schools, no kidding, I had this happen in communities I've served, would back away and say, sorry, we messed up. You know what? Today, listen, you know this probably, they don't care. In fact, nobody cares what the church is doing on Wednesday nights or on Sunday mornings. We live in a culture where everything happens in those times and nobody cares. Now, I whine and carry on about that all the time. We talk in our small, in our pastor's group, we talk about, oh man, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, stuff's going on, people don't come. It affects church attendance. It affects, things that we're doing together. It just affects us being the body of Christ. And I whine and carry on about that all the time. Complain, you know. When I read these verses, what it really makes me think about is perhaps we need to figure that out, church. Perhaps we need to explore other ways and other times and other situations where the body of Christ can gather together to worship and to praise and to be in fellowship with one another. Perhaps we need to explore an alternative to a Sunday morning that's meaningful and powerful and filled with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem with that. Y'all want to know the problem? It's five letters. Nobody ever wants to do this. It's called change. It's called change. And if we really want to be the church, if we really want to figure out how we can motivate one another to have hope in the midst of the culture in which we live, if we really want to figure out how to motivate one another to love and good works, church, listen, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to figure out ways that we can find times to be together. Quit whining about it. Quit making excuses for it. Let's figure out ways that we can be the church beyond Sunday morning. You didn't hear me say do away with Sunday morning. I said beyond Sunday mornings. It's an incredibly important discipline. We promise that we're going to be present. Well, then let's figure out ways to really be present. Those are just two of those disciplines that I think are just huge when it comes to you and I being the church, when it comes to us growing up and becoming the people that God longs for us to become. Prayer and present. Prayer and presence. May we do all that we can do to put them into practice in our lives.